Indiana's second chance law aims to give people just that, a second chance. Across the state, many communities are finding ways to assist people with the expungement of criminal records and to address other legal barriers to getting back to work and life. Today on All In, we'll talk to legal experts and others involved in finding new ways to help people through this process. I'm Jill Sheridan. While expungement efforts have been growing, there are still many barriers for people trying to seal their records. Have you or someone you know been impacted by a criminal record? Have you tried to receive these services? What has been your experience? We'll talk today to legal experts doing this work and those leading new projects to expand expungement efforts in Indiana. If you've been impacted by the ability to seal a criminal record, we'd like to hear from you. Comment on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana. First, this news. Hi, this is All In. I'm Jill Sheridan, and today for host Matt Pelser. In 2013, Indiana adopted the so-called Second Chance Law. It gives people with criminal records the ability to seal or expunge all or parts of their record, and the process can help improve employment, housing, the ability to get a loan or even volunteer at their child's school. And this is a really important process that a lot of people in Indiana have been adopting and trying to model. And we bring in the studio live here today, Carrie Haggett, who is a clinical associate professor of law at the Indiana University Robert H. McKinney School of Law and director of the Civic Practice Clinic. She's joining us now. Thank you, Carrie, so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
So many of our listeners today, you know, might be unfamiliar with the term. If you could just sort of break it down a little bit, what exactly is expungement?
So it's a little bit tricky because I think expungement can mean a couple of different things. And in Indiana, we have a pretty specific meaning of what expungement is. Generally, people think that it makes things disappear or things get destroyed. And in Indiana, the way that the law is written is that things are only visible to certain entities, so law enforcement or the FBI, but we hide them from public view is how expungement works in Indiana. It's who has access to those records. But it still doesn't make it any less powerful. It's just a matter of who can see them.
So Indiana is one of 20 states now that have expanded or added these laws in recent years. And like we mentioned, I mean, to help people live more productive lives, to get on with their lives after, you know, having something on their record. Who can benefit from the second chance law?
Well, I think honestly, the way I would say it is who couldn't benefit, because society benefits as a whole. If you have a record, how are you supposed to get a job, right? One that pays well so you're able to support your family. How are you supposed to get decent housing? If you want to be involved in your child's life, how can you volunteer at their school? If you have a criminal background, you're not going to be able to do any of those things. And then I think just overall personal well-being, you also have a terrible sense of self-esteem. I can't tell you how many of the people that we work with, and they have one mark on their record that has followed them around their entire life because they've made one mistake and everything has been impacted. So we all benefit by allowing this process to just generally occur and support it.
And we'd love to hear from you if you have been impacted by this. You can comment on Facebook or Twitter at All In IN Indiana. That's All In Indiana. Find us there and send us a message. We did get this one message, and it's sort of giving people, you know, a broader idea of how many people this is impacting. Mm-hmm. We received this message from a Job Connect program that's run through CareSource. Mm-hmm. The name they gave us was Juan Carreras. He found a good job, at a large and reputable company. He was interviewed. It went well. The hiring team would like to make an offer, he heard, working with his life coach. Of course, he happily accepts. But then the company runs a background check on Juan, and suddenly the offer's in limbo. Yep. He'd been flagged for a criminal conviction with an indiscretion that happened over 9 years ago.
Right.
And he'd already paid his debt to society.
Right.
And he'd actually received something called a pre-adverse action notice. Mm-hmm. And his life coach, but then worked with him on a response and worked with him to respond about, you know, all the work that he put in school and faith studies and vocational training and mm-hmm. with his family. Mm-hmm. And what she's trying to say is that, you know, advocacy is really powerful. And the hiring team reached out to him, and this time with a start date. So they say, you know, these stories usually don't have such a happy ending.
They don't, but it would be nice if they did, right? I mean, I think the other thing, too, that is really amazing about Indiana's law is that there are five categories of things that you can expunge. At least that's how we sort of teach and talk about this. So even if you've been arrested for something or you've had charges brought against you and they've been dismissed, those things still show up. And they'll show up forever unless you go and have them expunged. So if you think about that principle in general, that's frustrating as well. I may have been arrested several times and nothing may have come of it. But anytime a background check is pulled, those things show up on my record, right? And then Indiana also allows you to expunge misdemeanors. Both arrests and misdemeanors are completely sealed. So there's no proof of them on any public information databases. But then the two highest level tiers are felonies. And felonies are discretionary with the court. So the court does not have to grant those. Frequently, those are more violent crimes, which, if you think about it, also makes sense, right? Legislature probably had a little hesitation when enacting such a broad sweeping law, but they did, and there's still some safeguards in there for people who are concerned about people just getting away scot-free, if you will, right? Which I think is sometimes the attitude towards this law.
So when we did pass this law in 2013, of course, you know, it was not perfect, but, you know, legislators have taken steps to tweak it.
Yep.
And you know, make it more effective. Do you think those are working somewhat?
I do. I mean, they're definitely paying attention to how this law is evolving through practice, right, and in practicality. So they are paying attention to how it's implemented and people's responses to it.
So what crimes cannot be expunged in Indiana?
Well, there are several that should make perfect sense, right? For instance, murder, sex trafficking, any sort of child molestation crimes. If you're convicted of two or more violent felonies that are not part of the same offense, there is a whole list of things, but they really do run at the very high end of the felony spectrum, right? However, if you are charged with murder and that is dismissed, if you are charged with murder and you're found not guilty, then you can expunge that because that's not a conviction. I think the other thing, too, that we frequently find is that some people think that it's convictions, like literally you have to be convicted by a court or by a jury. But if you plead guilty to something, that is also considered a conviction. And so just because you plead doesn't mean that you're saying, right, that you didn't do it. You're still admitting some sort of guilt, and that is considered a conviction for those sorts of crimes, too.
So if an employer, you know, goes looking for those records, they can be completely sealed, like you said, if it's a misdemeanor. But is there ways that they can, you know, find out more information? And part of the law is also to ensure that employers do comply with the anti-discrimination laws.
Right. Yeah.
That's
so
difficult.
I mean, again, it depends on the type of convictions that were expunged. So if they're misdemeanors and arrests and dismissals, those won't show up. The felonies will still show up, but they will read marked as expunged. So there's some controversy even in our own practice about how effective that is. But I can't tell you how many clients we've helped who still want to go through with it because it's, again, something that they want to do. They'd still like to take care of it. So even if they do appear, right, they still find value in that.
And a lot of, you know, places across the state are really seeking, you know, through nonprofits or law schools like your own to, you know, expand these efforts to people that need them. But still, there's many barriers.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about some of those.
There are barriers. I mean, again, I think just what we were saying at the very beginning, if you have a criminal record, you can't get easy access to housing. Financial aid becomes a problem. There are certain public benefits that you have issues with. And one of the most common we find are parents who just want to do things with their kids at school. And they can't pass a basic background check for a misdemeanor. Right.
And anecdotally, I've heard from people that, you know, don't have, you know, money to hire a lawyer.
They do not. That's right. And so these things also are not cheap. So you can only file to expunge convictions under Indiana law once in your entire lifetime. And if you have convictions in any county in Indiana, you have to file petitions in every county that you have crimes in within a one-year period. And so right now the filing fee for that is $157. So if I have convictions in four counties, not only am I going to have to prepare about four sets of paperwork for each county, but I'm going to have four $157 filing fees.
That could add up fast.
It does.
You're doing some really interesting work organizing pop-up expungement clinics through the IU McKinney Civil Practice Clinic. Talk about how that idea started.
Well, I just, again, I feel like as lawyers, I really believe in access to justice. And so this process, while it seems simple in one context, it's really not. And it's so easy for us to do screening and do paperwork and find the information that we need. And I wanted vehicles that would allow my students to see things from beginning to end and actually have to give clients bad news and really great outcomes at the same time. So we have a project I started with Goodwill of Southern and Central Indiana. We've been doing it for about 3 years. We do intake there through with all of their employees and anyone receiving their services 6 times a semester. And anyone who is eligible for expungement, we represent for free. And honestly, we are really good at it. And so we've been able to go around the state and now we can screen anyone just to tell them if they're eligible, because a lot of the people that we see are not. A lot of people owe hundreds of dollars in court fees and you have to pay those off before you can file to expunge convictions. And so it's just a really nice, concise way for us to provide direct representation in many places.
But the actual process, you know, I've heard as well, and you said it's really not that complicated.
It's not, but it is overwhelming, right?
Yes.
Because again, you don't want to miss something. And there's a lot of paperwork that you have to file for this sort of thing.
Yeah. So how have these clinics been successful? I'd imagine that you're, you know, hearing from many people in the community.
Yeah, we do. We really do. Our Goodwill project is just great. They've been a great partner for us. We occasionally do work with Indiana Legal Services as well, who does a lot of this work. Indiana Coalition Against Domestic Violence has sponsored some events for us in different cities around Indiana. And every year our school has a reentry fair. And so we staff 2 rooms, really, one where we just screen people generally for their expungement, for their eligibility. And this year, actually, I was able to get a partnership with the Marion County Clerk of Courts. And so they came and we were able to draft the most basic type of expungement petitions for arrests and dismissals on site. And it doesn't sound like much, but we filed 24. And 24 in 4 hours wasn't too bad. So,
what about, you know, the students gaining this experience?
They love it. They really do. I can't tell you how so many of them, right, are not necessarily exposed to this. So many of them don't have a criminal background. And so they are a little wary at first because there are so many stereotypes about people who commit crime. But they walk away and they want to do this pro bono. They come back every year to volunteer. And again, the way we've set up our clinic work, they get to meet with these people at the very beginning. They research their entire history. They have to give them a summary of where they stand. And then if they're eligible, they get to actually see them through to the end. And there's just nothing more affirming than that. And even when we give people bad news, which is something lawyers have to do, the students still say, we have so many clients that say, thanks. No one has ever sat down and explained this process to me so clearly. I get it. I feel hope. I know if I can't do it now, I'll be able to do it in the future.
Even now we're about 6 years into this law here in Indiana. Do you see more bipartisan support? Do you think that, you know, we're heading the right direction?
I think that we are. I would say it would be nice if the discretionary at the higher levels would be maybe looked at just again, because again, some of the frustrating conversations we have are, is it even worth, right, filing to expunge higher level felonies when they are discretionary? It would be nice if we thought about really making it a full second chance law and eliminating that as well. But
thank you so much, Carrie Hagan, joining me here live in studio. She's a professor of law at the IU Robert McKinney School of Law, and she's doing great work on the expungement level.
Thanks.
Coming up next, we will talk to Jay Chaudhry, Director of Medical Legal Partnership with Indiana Legal Services, and Brandon George, Executive Director of Indiana Addictions Issues. They're exploring a project that they've been involved with, seeking expungement for people who want to help others in recovery. We'd love to hear from you. Join the discussion on Facebook or Twitter, All In Indiana. Especially, we'd love to hear from you if you have been impacted by the ability or inability to have your records sealed. I'm Jill Sheridan, again, in for host Matt Pelser. Back in 2 minutes on All In. Hi. This is Jill Sheridan, and you're listening to All In. Today, we're talking about expungement efforts in Indiana. These efforts are considered an important piece of addressing criminal justice reform and mass incarceration, and a lot of that work's being done here in Indiana. Many Hoosiers have a criminal history that's related to drug charges, and many are trying to leave that life behind in recovery. Today, we're welcoming Jay Chaudhary, Director of Medical Legal Partnership with Indiana Legal Services. Jay, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And Brandon George, Executive Director of Indiana Addictions Issue. Brandon, thank you.
Glad to be here.
I did want to start with a story that we heard from we received a number of stories from a Job Connect program run through CareSource. This is the story of Wes, whose name was changed, who served a prison sentence more than 20 years while incarcerated. He earned a degree in social work. He became a counselor to other inmates. And with aid from a life coach, he completed a training course to become a certified peer support recovery specialist. A judge waived some of the fines. Wes got his license back. And just last week, he was hired as a peer support specialist for a transitional housing group. It's only part-time for now, but his supervisor is promising more hours as soon as possible. This is an amazing story for someone, you know, that served their time and that was able to, you know, use the help of a judge to get back to life. And that's what we're really talking about. Since the law became a law in 2013, the so-called Second Chance Law, Jay, can you introduce us to the work that Indiana Legal Services has been doing on this front?
Sure. So Indiana Legal Services is a civil legal aid organization. And so a lot of people are familiar with the concept that in a criminal case, you have right to counsel, and if you can't afford one, it'll be provided for you. And there's no corresponding right in civil cases. And so as a result, the latest study shows 86% of Americans, low-income Americans with civil legal issues go unrepresented. And so for us, expungement is a subset of these civil legal issues that arise. And so we've been very involved from the very beginning. We were involved with the sort of the discussions around the passage of the law. The law has been tweaked a few times since its passage. We've been involved with that. It's kind of like really technical issues around fee waivers and access to courts and the sort of processes of filing. And it's now one of our biggest areas.
It's really grown since the law was passed more than 6 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
What does that transition look like for ILS?
I think there was a misconception or sort of a nervousness for us because we don't do anything criminal, and the thought was, well, is this really a criminal matter? And we sort of got guidance from our federal funder who said definitively, this is not a criminal matter. This is a civil matter that arises out of the criminal case, and so we're able to help with it. And we do them in lots of sort of creative ways. We engage pro bono attorneys to do these cases to expand our resources. And then we sort of save the more complicated filings for our sort of subject matter expert attorneys that do them.
The idea of a medical legal partnership is really growing here in Indiana. Just the importance of those partnerships coming into play, you're seeing that more and more every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And so our first medical legal partnership, or MLP, in Indiana was with Midtown Community Mental Health Center. And so a lot of these clients, with mental health challenges, unfortunately, as we know, they interact quite often with the criminal justice system as well, and as a result have these criminal records that follow them around for their whole lives. I think that the onset of a lot of mental illness happens after somebody becomes an adult, and so it's not something that can be sort of just brushed under the rug as something that happened when they were a child. And so somebody has an episode of psychosis at 21 and they get arrested and charged as a result. You know, when they're 42 and stable, that charge is still following them around.
Do we have generally, I would say, you know, the understanding that substance use disorder, Brandon, it's a disease, and attitudes towards, you know, drug convictions may be changing somewhat in the state. Do you find that or not so much?
Well, it's going to be a big ship that we're turning. So that's the hope, that we slowly are beginning to view this more as an illness, more so than as a moral failing. Obviously, drug use has been criminalized for a long time. And so as our communities start to realize this is more about illness and less about moral issue, the hope is that we really get it more in the healthcare arena than it is the criminal justice arena.
Talk about, Brandon, this effort, clearing records, getting a clean slate for people, so to say. How important is this for people that are in recovery, that are trying to turn their life around?
It's a massive issue. So you think about somebody that's in recovery trying to get their life back together, paying bills, having their own place, becoming self-sufficient. The difference in between having a criminal conviction on your record and not having it is often the difference in between socioeconomic classes, the difference in between being able to pay and support yourself and not being able to pay your way. And so I, for one, as a person in long-term recovery, am also involved in the criminal justice system. And I remember being in early recovery trying to get jobs. And immediately, a lot of companies have markers in place. You, as soon as you check the box that you have a criminal conviction, it doesn't even make it to somebody look over the application. It immediately kicks it out of the process. And so there's major barriers in place when people have – people think, oh, it's not that big a deal. We believe in second chances. And unfortunately, our policy and systems hiring a lot of times are set up to where the person doesn't even get a chance to sit in front of somebody for an interview when they have a criminal conviction. So it certainly was a barrier for me getting back into the workforce.
Do you think we need more understanding and an awareness that, you know, this is an option for people in the state of Indiana?
Yeah, we need to have more. The people that need it the most are the people least aware that it's available to them. Even myself, who's educated in addictions, who runs a statewide agency, I didn't know that these were legal issues. I thought a lot of them were, you know, bad driving issues or that's just the way it is because of your history issue. And not even knowing that you could actually get legal counsel to get help with these is a major issue.
We hear from Adrienne on Facebook who says she was convicted of theft in 2017 and completed 1 year probation and since then completed school as well as certifications and just having the hardest time still finding a job in her field, participating at her children's school because of the record. And it's been hard for her, for her family. She's thankful that she's able to find work to help support her family. But she talks about the 5-year rule to expunge her misdemeanor. It's a life lesson. And she's looking forward to understanding more about that. What is that rule, Jay?
Yeah, so the time waiting period that it takes to expunge a criminal record depends on whether there are misdemeanors or felonies involved. If there's any felony at all, it's 8 years since the last conviction. If it's all misdemeanors, then it's 5 years. Now, those waiting periods can be waived with the consent of the local prosecutor's office. We've had mixed results with that. You know, one of the reasons, however, for waiving it is, for example, completion of school or acting like a peer recovery coach, so reasons for the prosecutor to think, well, this person deserves a earlier chance.
And we had, you know, a person write in their experience just about being able to advocate for what they're doing and that being a really huge part of it, knowing that they can advocate for what they want.
Well, the other voices that are very important, this bringing it back to the medical legal partnerships, is sort of the voices of this person's treatment team, for example, somebody in substance use recovery. You know, if you get the input from their treatment team, treatment providers, yeah, this person's doing great. You know, that will help go a long way towards, you know, unlocking some of those doors.
Now, you both are involved in a really innovative project to help people who are interested in becoming peer recovery coaches. Talk about the impetus for this project.
Yeah, and so, you know, the whole idea of peer recovery is somebody with lived experience, and as we know, lived experience comes with oftentimes with a criminal record. And that criminal record can be a barrier because you think about where these peers are most effective. They're most effective in emergency rooms and healthcare systems and places that have really robust HR screening, you know, for good reason. These are people that have access to some of our most vulnerable citizens. And so we decided sort of before, you know, without, we have no resources. Here's the thing. We have no money to do this right now. And so, you know, what we were thinking, well, what can we do with no money? And so we have a pro bono coordinator at Indiana Legal Services, and we have Brandon, who has this huge network of peer recovery coaches. And my idea was just to bring them together to see if we can't, at least, you know, as a sort of reward for these people devoting their lives to the service of people that are in the shoes that they were in, if we can't, you know, help them out a little bit by providing them with expungement services.
What's that been like, Brandon? Have you, you know, I would imagine that you've heard from a lot of people that are really passionate about this project.
It's unbelievably exciting. You know, I think most people start feeling like they're paying a lifetime sentence for something that they're supposed to have cleaned up already. And so they get their life together. They go through the training to be a peer recovery coach. They have eyes of wanting to be in that emergency department helping somebody, and they can't make it through the HR process. And so when Jay brought together the idea of, you know, this would be a great way to help with workforce issues, it would also be a great way to reward people who are in recovery doing the right thing, it was just like, yes, 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 it all makes sense. So we've been able to make contact with people in different industry, actually throughout the state, that are in that position who are in recovery. wanting to help other people's and have some barriers in places and been able to connect those with some of Jay's resources and his team over at Indiana Legal Services to get this ball rolling. And we're excited. There's a lot of irons in the fire for Project Clear. And I have no doubt that a couple of them will come through and we'll be able to expand what we're doing.
Because there's a great need for this position, the peer recovery coaches in the state and other states as well, of course.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. So we keep calling substance use disorder and opioid use disorder a chronic condition, but our whole healthcare system is still set up like it's an acute care issue. I mean, it's still 30, 60, 90 days. And these peer recovery coaches help people stay touched and the plugged into the system for much longer, more like a chronic condition. And they help people navigate a system that, quite frankly, has been broken for a long time. You know, it's been siloed off from general health care. So the value of a peer who has walked and navigated that system before is really valuable. And we need them all over the community.
Yeah. Speaking of the community, you know, just largely these efforts, I think people are maybe understanding a little bit more that, you know, this has a benefit for everyone. This has a benefit for the state, you know, economically, socially, if we move some of these ideas forward.
Yeah, I think what it is, and this is where we expand beyond just the expungements into our general civil legal issues that we can help with. Civil legal interventions are very tangible and concrete and measurable. And so, you know, when we get somebody a driver's license or clear their criminal record, that has a very concrete, tangible impact on their everyday life. And it really ties into the evidence-based areas that are surrounding the whole idea of recovery, which are home, health, purpose, and community, you know, which are – so, you know, for example, a driver's license. If we get somebody a driver's license, you know, they're able to see their kids more. They're able to get a job. They're able to travel to healthcare appointments. They're able to be connected to their community, and that implicates all four of those areas, you know, and so it's a really valuable, powerful intervention.
What type of response have you heard, you know, from people in the community that are receiving these services?
So the people receiving them are, I mean, almost always, I think, grateful, and they feel very empowered. I mean, these are folks who I think a lot of times have been, you know, on the wrong end of the system. You know, they sort of see as everything sort of stacked up against them, and then having somebody in their corner advocating for them is very empowering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brandon, what would you like to see, you know, the state address these services on a larger scale? Where would you like to see, you know, this law be able to expand to help more people who are in recovery and who are, you know, trying to get back to life?
Well, I think the governor made a good first step. I think it was not this legislative session, but the last one where he banned the box essentially for government employees. And so that's leading by examples. I don't think that you should be able to tell corporations what they should or should not do with hiring practices. But he's leading by example there, and that doesn't mean you're going to get a job necessarily, but it does mean you're going to make it through the interview process. You're not going to be discriminated against. So I think that's a big step. The state agencies have been good and supportive of this, and I would like to see that expanded. The hope is that anybody that gets into a recovery system, whether it's a recovery residence, whether it's a recovery community organization, they have access and education when it comes to expungement and other civil legal issues. We want people to be, like I said, the people who are in most need are the least aware of this. And so it's my job as an advocacy group to make sure that they do know, so that when people are coming in with criminal backgrounds, they have relationships with a local legal service provider that can help get these taken care of.
And we're lucky here in Indianapolis, there are a lot of options for people, but there's barriers all the way across the state for people that are looking for these types of services.
Yeah, like most things in the world, they're dictated by funding. And, you know, by and large, these are healthcare funded projects. You know, we have projects with IU Health, with Community, with Eskenazi, and they're all funded by the healthcare system. You know, especially in rural areas, that hasn't happened yet in Indiana. We're working on it. Hopefully, more folks can we'll see the value of this and come around. I think it's interesting to note that, you know, every healthcare system that's funded us has continued to fund us. So clearly there is value, because healthcare isn't known for just giving out money for these projects without, you know, seeing some sort of return.
Expungement, obviously an extremely important component. Many other pieces of the puzzle, though, when we're ensuring a successful transition for people that have been involved in the system. Can you talk about some of those?
So yeah, the biggest things I would jump into, Jay touched a little bit, is, you know, recovery capital is our new phrase, and how are people building the recovery capital, and that's going to be the biggest indicator of long-term success and recovery, building up quality of life, and so making quality housing available to people, recovery residences, stable environments, making sure people have access to evidence-based treatment around the state of Indiana community. We got a pretty robust recovery community in our denser areas, but in rural areas, it's a little bit more scarce. And purpose, what do we do every day? We're talking about expungements in context of jobs and employment a lot, but it's also harder to get into school. It's harder to further your education. There's a box you have to check when you're applying for school if you've got a criminal history. So there's a lot of areas, just like any healthy human being, there's a lot of things to work on.
And I think they all flow from the same concept, which is the idea of stigma. One of the things that's been most remarkable to me working with folks in this field is, to a person, they will tell you the number one barrier facing this population is stigma and the idea of treating what is, in fact, a chronic health condition as something anything but. You know, to me, that's where stigma comes into place.
What advice would you give someone that may be listening that really wants to get involved and really wants to start, you know, advocating for themselves?
Yeah, so, you know, you can go to our website, www.indianalegalservices.org. We have a pretty user-friendly list of all the different services we provide and some good fact sheets on, for example, expungements and driver's licenses to see if you're eligible. Beyond that, the folks that are more in the treatment world, one thing we're working with Brandon on is making them much more aware of these services because, like he said, it's not something that is front and center a lot of times, but it can have a real, real impact.
And we're an advocacy group at our heart, Indiana Addictions Issues Coalition. So recoveryindiana.org. We've actually got our big annual September 7th recovery rally. We'll have the governor's proclamation. We'll have music downtown, and that's a great place to start getting plugged into the recovery community. You'll see all the resources down there and really be able to start seeing what options are available to you.
Jay Chaudhary, Director of Medical and Legal Partnership with Indiana Legal Services, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brandon George, Executive Director of Indiana Addictions Issues, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Next on All In, we'll hear from Marion County Prosecutor Terry Curry, who's been a leader in expungement efforts in Indianapolis, and we'll also talk to Matt Gowden, Staff Attorney, the Neighborhood Christian Legal Clinic. I'm Jill Sheridan, in today for host Matt Pelser. All In continues next. Welcome back to All In. Indiana's so-called second chance law allows Hoosiers to expunge or seal their involvement in the criminal justice system. Even one arrest can follow people for years. Marion County Prosecutor Terry Curry has been a leader in expungement efforts in the state of Indiana, and I recently spoke with him about a community event that his office held in Indianapolis.
So congratulations. You just had your first second chance workshop held here in Marion County. If you could talk a little bit about the need for this type of workshop and event just here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, the way it came about is that the second chance law actually passed in 2013, and without regard to the workshop, we've already processed 13,000 expungement petitions here in Marion County alone. And as we traveled around the county, and in particular meeting with various members of the faith community, you know, different pastors would say, "Would you please come to our church and present information?" And rather than do that on like a one-off basis, we just decided let's incorporate it into a single event, which was our second chance workshop. To say that we were overwhelmed by the response is an understatement. You know, what we tried to do is address individuals who have a criminal history, but have stayed out of trouble and thus under the law have the ability to expunge or seal their prior criminal history, which we know, you know, is an impediment to employment, to credit, to housing. And in addition, those with suspended driver's licenses, all of those things create issues for individuals wanting to become productive members of our community. We feel very passionately about the ability to provide second chances to individuals and to get them back on their feet. And like I said, we were overwhelmed by the response, literally overwhelmed at our workshop.
Nearly 200 people receiving assistance that day.
Right. We had asked people to register in advance, and we had actually cut off the registrations because we were at what we considered max number of individuals we could actually assist that day. We had several individuals who showed up in any event, which was fine, and we literally have about two or three legal pads full of names, contact information to follow up, which we will do.
Now, talk a little bit about the types of services that people were able to receive, seeking early expungement of convictions, of arrests.
Right. In terms of the expungement process, ultimately, that requires a court order to obtain it. And so that's not something that we can do unilaterally. But what we can do, and we have done, is provide information as to who would be eligible and how that individual would go about preparing the petition and having it filed with the court. In our workshop, we had individuals there who actually had the ability to directly assist. In other words, in terms of expungement, what we have to tell people is we're not your attorney. We can't be your attorney, but we had volunteer attorneys there. We had individuals from the Public Defender's Office, and in particular, staff members from the Neighborhood Legal Christian Clinic, which provides that service on a pretty large scale.
Now, you seem, again, you said, very passionate about this effort. What are some of the stories that you're hearing from people in this community about how appreciative they are for this service?
Even before we did the workshop, we certainly would hear from time to time from individuals who had exactly the story we'd anticipate. And in particular, I've been on prior radio shows and individuals called in. And for example, a man called in and said that he had five prior convictions, but he had turned his life around and still had issues with obtaining and maintaining full-time employment. And after he had gone through the process, he now had a full-time job and obviously couldn't be happier. And so that's the sort of thing we just hear over and over and over. And going back to your question about the need, I talked about the expungement. The other area that we've tried to address in a variety of ways is individuals with suspended driver's license. Not only do we have our own program, but we've assisted and testified on behalf of Representative Shackelford on a bill in the last two legislative sessions that would provide amnesty for those individuals. Unfortunately, those bills haven't passed yet. In the process of our own program, we learned from the Bureau of Motor Vehicles that in Marion County, there are 100,000 individuals with suspended driver's license. We were so staggered by that number, literally, we called back two more times to confirm, are you sure that number is correct? And we were assured that was a correct number. And so in the area of suspended driver's license, usually it starts out very, very innocently. Someone picks up a ticket, for whatever reason, they don't show up at court, and they end up with a suspended driver's license. And from there, then it snowballs. And so, again, just like in the area of criminal history, we want to do what we can to get individuals back to where they're driving legally and don't have that impediment to employment, for example, and the ability to get around.
You're also able to have some of these traffic tickets dismissed, help people who might have child support payments behind. These are all things that can really hold somebody back.
Exactly. And what we do in that regard is, in the area of individuals who have prior driving offenses, we essentially negotiate a compromise on those and to pay some amount and then forgive some other amount and get their license reinstated. And the area of child support is exactly the same thing, that if an individual has significant arrearage and their driver's license has been previously suspended for that reason, our message is just come in, work with us, let's get you started paying just something, anything, we'll get your driver's license back. Because particularly in the child support area, the whole idea of suspending someone's driver's license seemed pretty counterintuitive to me. If we want some non-custodial parent to be out there working and paying their child support, taking away their driver's license doesn't seem to make much sense.
Obviously, it's extremely helpful to people in the community when they have a prosecutor, when they have a team that's, you know, offering these types of services. When we look to expand this and really, you know, get the word out to other agencies across the state, well, what are some of those barriers?
You know, when the bill was first being considered in 2013, and I'll be honest, there were some of my colleagues across the state who not only didn't support the concept but opposed it. Obviously, the bill did pass. And early on, and I heard stories that, you know, that there were courts that didn't think it was appropriate that someone could seal their criminal history. But I think that attitude has been changing, and certainly we've gotten a lot of feedback and inquiries, you know, from other prosecutors' offices, other agencies, about, you know, what we've done and supporting what we've done. And you know, I learned actually today that they're considering similar programs in Bloomington. I think that's great.
There is this work going on, and certainly a greater understanding that if we want to, you know, move away from some of our old ways and move people forward, that this is necessary.
What we've stated over and over is our philosophy is pretty simple, and that is if someone becomes involved in the criminal justice system, you know, our expectation of that individual is, number one, you're going to take responsibility for what you did, and secondly, you're not going to reoffend. And if someone meets those expectations, then we should do what we can to remove the stigma of that prior criminal conduct.
Thank you so much for joining today.
Sure.
It's Marion County Prosecutor Terry Curry, who's been doing this work here in Indianapolis. Joining me in the studio live today, Matt Gowden, who's a staff attorney at the Neighborhood Christian Legal Clinic, works very closely with the Marion County Prosecutor. Thank you, Matt, for joining today.
Well, thanks for having me.
So you have been working hand-in-hand with the Marion County Prosecutor. Sort of talk about how, you know, your work came to be. You know, he mentioned it a little bit. It was the faith-based communities that really were calling out for this type of help to begin with.
Sure. And the prosecutor's office has been a fantastic partner in all this. And so we started a few years ago what's called an expungement help desk at the city county building. And so the prosecutor's office was instrumental in getting us in the city county building to actually have a space. And so at the expungement help desk, open 4 days a week, we help people on the spot file for expungements.
And what type of, I mean, I would imagine, you know, since the law went into effect in 2013 that, you know, this has really been growing and that you're seeing more and more people all the time.
It has. We're breaking records. We keep track of how many people come in. I have statistics just through June of this year, and we have filed 907 petitions for people. That's helping expunge separate 2,242 separate cases.
Wow. So talk about a little bit about the mission of the Neighborhood Christian Legal Clinic. Again, you know, this is what we're hearing, that, you know, it was, you know, faith-based communities.
Sure.
That were really saying, we need this.
Sure. And so we come at it from the perspective of we want to help our low-income neighbors with their legal problems because they couldn't afford it otherwise. And so we do that as a way of demonstrating and living out our faith. And so we help with expungement, driver's license issues, landlord's tenant, sort of the whole realm of civil legal aid law, but we have a special focus on expungement.
And what type of services, you know, do you think people in this community, from your experience, mm-hmm. really need? We know we just heard about, you know, the driving privileges.
Sure.
I mean, that's huge. Over 100,000 people just in Marion County.
I think with the criminal record expungement and driver's license issues, those are the two areas that can have such a major impact on somebody's life. If you're getting them a driver's license, you're enabling them to drive to a job. Same thing with an expungement. Some big reasons people come in for an expungement, one is to find a job because they can't find one with a criminal record, and two, get a place to rent because they're having a tough time finding a place to live because landlords won't rent to them if they have a felony on their record. Not all landlords are like that, but some certainly are.
Yeah, and it's difficult to get on
sure.
with your life and any other ways if you don't have those, you know, basic needs met.
Exactly. And they it's when you don't get those needs met, it's a lot easier for somebody to reoffend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Project Grace mm-hmm. is what it's called, operating
yes.
again in the city county building 4 days a week, you said.
Yeah, Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4.
Now, you also have offices. You're doing this work in Fort Wayne.
We are. We have our main office is here in Indianapolis, 3333 North Meridian, but we also have a satellite office in Fort Wayne, and we do expungements up there as well. And so basically with Indianapolis, we can cover all of central Indiana, Fort Wayne, all the north eastern part of the state, and hit a pretty good part of the state to do expungement law work for.
A lot of this work, you know, so far has been done by groups like yours, nonprofits, legal students, and he was mentioning, you know, an effort that we had heard about in Bloomington. Their law school there is trying to open up an expungement desk. Still, though, a lot of people in the state of Indiana, you know, without these services.
Sure, yeah. We will serve at our help desk anybody from any place in the state, but they just have to come to us. So if somebody wants to come from Lake County or Vandenberg County, we are more than happy to serve them. And the way it's set up is if they come and they do qualify, if they qualify for an expungement, we can get it all done right there that day. So they wouldn't have to make a second trip, hopefully.
How important do you think expungement services are in the larger scheme of successful reentry?
I think it's one of the most key areas to successful reentry. One, because we want to, like Prosecutor Curry said, we don't want people to reoffend. We want them to take responsibility for their crime. And one way to help them not reoffend is to get them an expungement, because we want to help people find jobs. That's the key thing, jobs. Jobs give a sense of self-worth. They allow you to support yourself. And so I think it's a key area.
Do you think that, you know, more employers are making, you know, making it easier for people that are really trying to have these services impacted in their lives?
Yeah, I see a lot of employers now that are will hire people who are felons or have criminal records. They specifically do that, and they have some employers have special programs where they can help people and kind of come alongside their employees and help them with that. And also employers are just kind of pushing into this area.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to somebody that, you know, has just been dogged by their criminal record and has really not aware that there are services available, or just, you know, have found a lot of barriers to getting this?
Yeah. So my statement would be is that there is hope. What was said, I was listening to the radio program earlier, and there are, like was said earlier, there are certain crimes that can never be expunged. But other than those crimes, everything can eventually be expunged eventually. So though you may not be eligible yet, you can wait, and most felonies are going to be 8 years, but you can file earlier if the prosecutor agrees. And so there is hope. The biggest message is that there is hope.
And just to get that little bit of information, get the ball rolling.
The biggest advice is don't reoffend, because once you reoffend and commit another crime and get convicted of that, it kind of restarts the timeline. Mm-hmm. And so you're waiting longer and longer and longer.
I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, that are either in prison or jail, mm-hmm. or on parole or probation in the state of Indiana.
Sure.
This impacts a lot of people.
It does. It does. And like I said before, there is hope, and so, yeah.
We know that in Indianapolis, you know, Prosecutor Curry said, you know, a lot of people have reached out to him, you know, nationwide, and really try to understand, you know, what he's able to do here and what he's doing right.
Sure.
From your perspective and doing this work, you know, what are we doing right?
Sure, and so I think what the prosecutor's office is doing right and other places around and organizations around the state is really seeing this as a way to help the community, a way to impact the whole entire community, and that the prosecutor's office job is bigger than just keeping our street safe and locking up bad guys, so to speak. And so it's been recognized nationwide, New York Times article a couple years ago for the prosecutor's office, and we are very appreciative that they have partnered with us to have this help desk. We interact a lot with them. We were there at the big event they had a couple weeks ago and helped them with that. And we look forward to working with them in the future.
Have you experienced that, you know, that this type of work really does improve communities?
It certainly does, because I can't tell you how many people after they come get an expungement, either that I've helped personally file for an expungement for, or they have come to the help desk and I hear stories where they're able to get jobs, provide for themselves, take care of their kids. People have been able to get jobs and buy houses with this. So, yeah, I think it has a tremendous impact. It's one of the areas of the law that I do a lot of other things besides expungement work at our clinic, but it's one of my favorite because it has tangible impacts on people. We have people come in a couple weeks later after they get an expungement. I got a job. And they're so happy about it because these are people that reformed their lives and they want to move on to the next step, and this record is holding them back. And so once they get off their back, they can truly move forward.
How long does an expungement process take? Sure. Varies, right?
Yeah, it varies. They're pretty fast about it here in Marion County. Mm-hmm. The judges are really good in Marion County. They have set up a system, and so they know what expungement is. They know what the petitions look like. And so, honestly, when we file an expungement petition with the court, anywhere from 30 to 60 days, we're seeing an answer on it.
It sounds like we're becoming more and more effective all the time.
We are more and more effective because it just takes experience. You know, when it was new, things were a little bit slower, but that's how it always is. And so, but once, you know, it's been the law for a while now, everybody understands it. And prosecutor's office understands it. The courts understand it, court staff. And so it's moving much faster.
Matt Gowden, staff attorney with the Neighborhood Christian Legal Clinic. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Jill Sheridan, and again today for host Matt Pelzer, who's on paternity leave. Congrats to the Pelzer clan while bringing their second son, Sullivan. And Matt will be back in a couple weeks. Thursday on All In, we'll be talking about odd Indiana museums and travel sites. So looking at the passion of preserving history, however strange. You've been listening to All In. Thank you so much.